Adwaita Charya Lord Nityananda Shivas Pandit Gadadhar Pandit Swarup Damodar Murari Gupta Haridas Thakur and all the other devotees of Sri Krishna Chaitanya. Bowing down with devotion, I hold their lotus feet on my head. We are reading today from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Lila, Chapter 4, entitled The Confidential Reasons for the Lord's Appearance, Text 227 and 228. This particular verse is a very incredible and revealing culmination of a discussion of the highest topics of the spiritual world. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami explains in this chapter confidential reasons why Lord Chaitanya appeared in this world. And in this particular verse, the foundational, preliminary qualification that one absolutely must have to begin to understand any of these subjects. Because to understand anything theoretically, even philosophically, simply requires a good memory, a fertile brain, an astute intelligence. But to actually understand, to have realization, to enter into these mysteries beyond just a theoretical concept. In other words, in order for there to be an actual transformation of consciousness through this philosophy, this verse is foundational. To humble oneself in the mood of the servant of the servant, to honor, worship, and love the feet of the Lord's associates and Bhaktagana and all his devotees. If we don't have this quality of honoring, worshiping, loving, and serving the devotees from our heart of hearts, that whatever we learn will remain theoretical. It will nourish the brain, but it will not touch the heart. And this is Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami's continuous message as he's describing the highest truths. He begins every chapter and ends every chapter humbling himself, taking the dust of the feet of Rupan Raghunath and all the devotees on his head. That's how he ends each chapter. And the beginning telling the plight of his humility and seeking shelter of the Lord and the devotees. And in between, he describes the transcendental philosophy and pastimes of Lord Chaitanya. This is not a detail. This is the essence. Because Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita is not just a philosophical doctrine to prove the superiority of one's spiritual path over others. It's to actually open the doors for fortunate souls, whoever they may be, to enter into this highest realm of spiritual love. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu revealed during the Rath Yatra in Jagannath Puri his ecstasies of Radha's love for Krishna. The symptoms of love that he manifested on his body during the Rath Yatra have never been seen before. And the confidential purpose of his very heart, of why he came to this material world, were revealed in an extraordinary way during the Rath Yatra. But he begins, before manifesting these symptoms of ecstasy, before beginning this Prem Sankirtan, this incredible kirtan of divine love in which he inundated the whole world with a simple prayer. Naham vipro nacha narapatir napi vaisho na shudra. I'm not a Brahmin or a Kshatriya, Vaisha or Sudra, or a Brahmachari, Grihastha, Vanaprastha, Sannyasi. All of these designations are sacred ways by which we can perform our duties in the service of the Lord. But in whatever varnashram, social or occupational duty we may have, our true consciousness, Gopi Bharatur Padakamalayora Das 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 Anudas, to be the servant of the servant of the servant of the servant of the Lord. And what it means to be a servant, that is so high and so deep. Vrindavan Das Thakur and Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat tells us that higher than elevation to the heavenly planets and being a king of heaven, which means higher than accumulating the most wealth of anyone in the universal creation, higher than being a yogi who could perform all mystic powers, miracles, controlling material nature according to our whims, higher even than liberation. That means detachment from all the pains and pleasures of this world, is to have the title Das or Dasi, to be a servant. It's the ultimate. Because in Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya, when we are given the word Das, servant of the Supreme Lord, servant of the Lord's devotees, we are given the highest title in all material and spiritual worlds. And higher than that, Lord Chaitanya says, is Das Das Anudas, to be the servant of the servant of the servant. We don't deserve it. We are not qualified to have such a title as Das. But we are given the opportunity. The doors are open by which we could actually understand and realize. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is described as that Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna himself, who wanted to taste the sweetness of loving service to himself. This is described in this chapter, that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came for external and internal reasons. His external reasons was to promote the Harinam Sankirtan movement, the Yuga Dharma, to fulfill his promise in Bhagavad Gita, Yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata abhyutanam dharmasya tadatmanam srijamyaham, that he will appear in this material existence again and again to restore religious principles and to reciprocate and fulfill the prayers of his dear beloved devotee Advaitacharya. Because Advaita Prabhu, seeing the condition of the people of this world, was crying, weeping in compassion, begging Krishna, appear and give the highest love of your abode to these people. And it's interesting, because Navadvip was not like a ghetto where people were living in shanty houses and starving. Navadvip was one of the most prosperous parts of the world. There was incredible wealth. There was incredible education. Doesn't talk about poverty or starvation in Navadvip, not in the material sense. People were very well situated and very proud of what they had. But Advaitacharya saw that they were bereft of love of Krishna. And therefore he wept and cried for them. Real poverty is poverty of the heart. But then the internal reasons are described in this chapter. Describes in brief, I'm being brief, describes in detail in this chapter, that Krishna, he comes to this world in his original transcendental form as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as Swayam Bhagavan, the source of all incarnations, for the purpose of revealing his transcendental pastimes and attracting the hearts of all souls to the highest limits of his loving service. Yuga avatars come every yuga in order to fulfill his promise in the Gita, paritranaya sadhunam vinashaya chaduskritam dharmastam stapanadaya sambhavami yuge yuge. The Lord comes in his Vishnu form. He kills demons. He establishes religious principles. He protects his devotees. And the Yuga avatar comes to establish the particular religion of, or form of religion for that age. Satya Yuga, Treta Yuga, or Dwapar Yuga, Treta Yuga, Kali Yuga. But Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the avatari, the source of all avatars, he doesn't have to come for that purpose. Krishna comes once in a day of Brahma to reveal his transcendental pastimes. Pastimes wherein he teaches the love of Vrindavan. Spontaneous love. Describes here in this chapter how the Lord is thanking. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami not only tells us what the Lord does, but he teaches us what the Lord thinks in the innermost recesses of his own heart. That in so many avatars that I take, I am teaching love of God in the Aishwarya Bhava, with understanding, worship, and surrender to my supreme majesty, my power, my supremacy. But nothing gives me as much pleasure as when my devotees love me intimately. As a son, as a friend, or as a lover. That is Vrindavan. Srila Prabhupada explains it in so many ways. In one lecture I recently heard, Srila Prabhupada says how a child's love for a mother or father is always, give me this, give me that. You mothers, do you have that experience? And the father and father are always giving and giving and giving. And then they keep giving. And the child wants more. Yes, that's, it's love. The child loves the parents. But the parents is always giving. And the child is always in need of taking. But the love of a parent for a child is simply giving. So which is a more intimate form of love? To love God as our father and take, or to love God as our child and give? Because Krishna's everything, and he could take any position. And he's Rasaraj, Rasovai Saha. That he's the reservoir, the connoisseur of loving relationships. And having Achintya Shakti, inconceivable potencies in the spiritual world, he can take any role he so chooses to taste the sweetness of his devotees' love and to give the devotees higher and higher experiences of love. In Goloka Vrindavan, Krishna, he has three age groups, Kumara, Poganda, and Kishore. His very early childhood pastimes, which is predominantly shared with his mother and father and the elder gopis and gopas in Batsalya Ras, where they're simply showering upon him love and loving affection. Yes, they have already realized that he is the absolute truth, the cause of all causes, the source of everything, the Lord of all lords. But the intensity of their love is facilitated by the Yogamaya potency in such a way that their love as Krishna, as their child, feeling his dependence on them, obscure, make them kind of forget that he's the supreme absolute truth, because that would interfere with the spontaneous of their parental affection. And as Poganda Lila, it's predominated mostly by his relationship with his friends. Yashoda Mai, she's thinking, if I don't bind up Krishna with this rope, then he's going to get hurt because of his mischievous activities. I must tie him up with this rope. But however many ropes she tied together, Krishna's waist, which didn't grow at all, could not be bound. It was always two fingers too short. More rope and more rope and more rope. This is an inconceivable, incredible pastime. There was enough ropes to circumambulate the whole property of Bhaktivedanta Manor. From the road beyond Dharammarg, all the way to this lake and beyond. She was tying more and more and more, thousands of ropes. And little Krishna's, Gopal's waist was only this big, and it didn't even grow. And yet, it was always exactly two fingers too short. Does that make sense? If God had to make sense, what is the use of his being God? Anyone could make sense. Such an intimate Leela. He was showing his supremacy without changing the sweetness of his intimacy. when Vamanadeva wanted to cover the three worlds with two steps, he grew that size. That's God. Yes, he's a little dwarf. And he has three steps of land. And Bali Maharaj says, yes, take the three steps. And Sukracharya says, don't give, because he's going to grow really big and take everything you have. But Bali said, I promised I must give. If he's the Lord, it belongs to him anyway. So Vamanadeva grew. Everyone was looking up at this little dwarf. He became bigger than the universe, practically. That's God. But Krishna, he grows without growing. Because if Yashoda Mai saw Krishna grow, she couldn't think, if I don't feed him my milk, he will die. Aditi, when she saw her little Vamana grow like that, she understood, he is my Lord. He's my son, but he's my Lord. But Yashoda, he kept the same little size. But yet all the ropes, so he showed his inconceivable potencies without interfering with the intimacy of his love, of his mother's love, thinking that he needs me. Gargamuni could say what he wants, that my little son is a great personality, as good as Narayan. He could say anything he wants, but I know, and Krishna knows what the truth is. When he hears thunder, he runs to me in fear, and I give him shelter. When he's hungry, he cries, and only I could satisfy him by giving the milk from my breast. Let Gargamuni talk all this philosophy, but Krishna knows, and I know, and that's good enough. That is how our acharyas explain it. And then when Krishna comes into his Poganda Leela, he's a playful little cowherd boy. Even Brahma was bewildered. Gopal is sitting on the banks of Yamuna River with his little friends, and they're eating prasad. Each gopa has a package. Prabhupada says a tiffin. that their parents pack for them because they're going to be out in the pastures all day long. And they're all, when something tastes good, they want to share it with Krishna and everyone else. So little boys, little cowherd boys, eating some ladu or some whatever it may be, and they say, Krishna, Gopal, this is really good, try it. And they're taking it out of their mouth and giving it to Gopal, and Gopal's eating it and saying, oh, this is so good, try what I have. And like this, he's just one of them. He's simultaneously one of them and not one of them. He's simultaneously one of them because he's their friend and he's interacting on a totally equal level, but he's not one of them because all of the gopas, and there are so many gopas, their 100% love and devotion are ecstatically flowing uncontrollably toward their little friend Gopal. And they wrestle with him. And sometimes the gopas defeat Krishna in wrestling. Not only did they defeat him, but Krishna carries them on his shoulders. Krishna becomes like their palanquin, just to show all the other gopas and the whole world and the whole universe for all time to come that I have been defeated. I am subordinate to my friend. And Krishna takes greater pleasure carrying his friends on his shoulders to show his defeat than he does to win. This is his Poganda Leela. Loving friendship. Intimate friendship. And during Krishna's Kishore Leela, his prominent relationships is with the gopis. Their love for Krishna is intimate and sweet as lovers. And Krishna explains how the gopis' love for Krishna is so pure that he cannot repay their love even with everything he has in an entire lifetime of Brahma. That is how he is feeling conquered and indebted by the love of gopis. And Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami explains the nature of that love. In this world, kama, or love, is generally, actually, lust. What is the difference between this material kama and prema, or true love? Gives the analogy of iron and gold. They're both metals, but they have very different properties. They're not the same at all. When there is even a tinge of desire for one's own satisfaction, for one's own, whether it's sense gratification, the gross senses, or the mind, or the intelligence, or the ego, that is called, according to this very, very profound philosophy of Chaitanya Charitamrita and Srimad Bhagavat, that is lust. Where we are conceiving ourselves to be this material body and mind, and we want to find some inner satisfaction for ourselves, or outer satisfaction, and our relationships are based on what I can get from you, that is kama. Prema is the opposite. Everything is for the beloved. There is no tinge of what I want for myself. Rather, I'm willing to do anything for the pleasure of my beloved. The gopis, we have all heard the story of Krishna, wanted to show the nature of gopis' love. And he had a headache. And he told his devotee, go to the great Vedic scholars and tell them that I have a headache and the medicine is the dust of their feet to be put on my head. The Vedic scholars, how could we put the dust of our feet on the head of Bhagavan? We'll go to hell. Just like pujaris. Pujaris put their head on the feet of Krishna and Radharani. We don't put our feet on their heads. Don't try it. Even if you have a dream, they have a headache. Don't do it. But Krishna's asking them to do it, so they wouldn't do it. Ask great rishis and yogis, nobody would do it. But gopis immediately scraped as much dust off their feet and put it in little packages and told the devotee, please take it immediately. Don't you know what's going to happen to you? Yes, of course, we'll go to hell. But we're willing to go to hell for the rest of eternity if it relieves Krishna of his headache even for 1 second. Can we conceive of such a thing? It seems unimaginable. But that is actually the quality of the devotee, of the gopi's love. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, "Ye yatham prapadyante tam sthitaiva pajamyaham mama vartam," that according to how my devotee surrenders unto me, according to how anybody surrenders unto me, I reveal myself accordingly. Krishna says, but when it comes to the gopis, my promise is broken. I've promised that in the Gita. But I cannot reciprocate with the gopis' love. It's too much. I cannot reciprocate. I cannot pay back even an entire lifetime of Brahma. Therefore, dear gopis, just be satisfied with that love. The gopi's pleasure is seeing Krishna's happiness. And Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami explains this incredible contradiction, the phenomena of the spiritual world of Goloka. That the gopis want nothing for themselves. They're not concerned with any pleasure or satisfaction. They only want Krishna's satisfaction. Their pleasure is Krishna's satisfaction. But in Krishna's satisfaction, they gain the greatest pleasure of anyone. You get what you don't want. That's Krishna's way of reciprocating. And therefore, of all devotees, gopis' love is highest. Kaviraj Goswami tells that according to one's particular loving relationship with the Lord, one naturally feels that my love is the best. You see, there's no envy in this spiritual world. Envy is a unique feature of material existence. If you're a cowherd boy, there's nothing else you want to be but a cowherd boy. It's not the cowherd boys who are thinking, why can't I dance at night with Krishna? Cowherd boys are absolutely satisfied. This is the best, playing with Krishna all day long. And Yashoda and Nanda and the elderly gopis and gopas and cows, their motherly affection, they're not thinking, can I be something else? This is the best. This is the highest. This is the most wonderful. And that's the way gopis are thinking. And in Vaikuntha, that's the way they're thinking. If they wanted this intimate, loving relationship with Krishna, they could go to Goloka, but they're happy where they are in Vaikuntha, just being the servant of the supreme, all-pervading, all-powerful Narayan. So all these devotees in love of God are thinking that my way is best. But it's not like in this material world where they're canvassing, I have the best guru, I have the best this, I have the best that, and they have an ego. If you have ego, that means you're in material existence. False ego. Everybody honors. Prabhupada says the Vaikuntha mentality is where you think everyone else is better than me. But still, my relationship with Krishna is best, even though everyone else is better than me. And therefore, we want to be the servant of the servant of the servant of everyone, but this is best for me, and there's no other way for me. They're not thinking there's no other way for everyone else. There's no other way for me. It's very subtle, but very sweet. So everyone is thinking, according to their relationship, Krishna's best. But if we object, that's a subjective conception, but if we objectively examine, then the love of the gopis is the best because it includes all others. The experience of love, qualitatively and quantitatively, of being a servant, a friend, a parent, are all included in the love of the gopis. Madhurya ras, supremely sweet. And of all the gopis, the very reservoir and source of all love and the highest is Sri Radharani. This is the culmination of the theology of Srimad Bhagavatam. Where after 9 cantos of showing the various aspects of the Supreme Lord within creation, within the spiritual world, the Lord reveals his Vrindavan pastimes and reveals the gopi supremacy and then leaves all the other gopis to be with this one gopi who worships him with the highest, sweetest, most inclusive love. And that is Sri Radha, Kaviraj Goswami describes that just as Krishna is the source of all incarnations, Radharani is the source of all shaktis. She is the Ladini Shakti of the Lord. All the goddesses of fortune, of all the Vaikunthas, are her partial expansions. And all the queens of Dwarka are her partial reflections. Srimati Radharani is the original source of all divine energy of the Lord. She is the Ladini Shakti. Krishna's body is Satchit Ananda, eternal, full of knowledge and full of bliss, and his entire abode is Satchit Ananda, eternal, full of knowledge and full of bliss. Sandini potency is his eternal aspect, which sustains the entire spiritual realm. Samvit is his knowledge aspect, which in the spiritual world is the energy in which Krishna knows his devotees, and devotees are cognition of knowing him. And the Ladini Shakti, or Ananda Shakti, is the source of all the pleasure, the bliss, the ecstasy of the relationships. And Srimati Radharani is the very source of the Ladini Shakti. She's the source of all love. Kaviraj Goswami explains, what is Radha in Krishna? Their relationship, Krishna is the Vishaya, which means he is the supreme object of love. And Sri Radha is the Ashraya, the supreme abode of love. Radharani is the supreme lover and Krishna is the supreme beloved. And although Krishna is Satchit Ananda, he is eternal, full of knowledge, full of bliss. He is Rasaraj, the king of all loving relationships. Krishna sees that the abode of love is tasting something much sweeter than the object of love. Just like a mirror. It describes in Chaitanya Charitamrita that Krishna sees his own reflection on a jewel pillar. And he becomes so endlessly attracted to his own reflection. He wants to enjoy it. But he's thinking, only Radharani could fully enjoy me. I want to taste what she tastes. I have infinite, ever-expanding bliss, but her happiness in tasting the sweetness of my love is 10 million times greater than my own satisfaction. Even though she doesn't want any satisfaction for herself, her happiness is 10 million times greater than my own. I want to taste the sweetness of her love, understand the nature of her love, understand what it is about me that puts her in such a trance of ecstatic love, and what is the happiness she feels in serving me. Vedaham samatitani varatamanani chajana babashani chabutani mam tu vedana kashtana. Krishna tells in Gita that I know everything happening in the past, the present, and the future. I know all living beings. I know everything. Krishna knows every desire, every action, every word of every living being, and he never forgets. Krishna, by his will, he creates all the cosmic manifestations with all its universes and everything within it. He doesn't have to work. All he does is just desire it, and it happens. That is his power. But there's one thing he wants to taste. Radha's love is unlimited. I want to taste the sweetness of what it means to love me. and Radha is the supreme abode of that love. So I will descend into the world. Radha bhava duti subalitam nomi Krishna swarupam. The absolute truth is one. But that one absolute truth has manifested into the two forms of Radha and Krishna for the purpose of intimate loving exchange, the origin of all love. Whatever love there is within all of existence, material and spiritual worlds, its origin is the love of Radha and Krishna. And its fullness is in Radha and Krishna. Their relationship. But those two supreme beings, the Shakti and the Shaktiman, have become one in the form of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Krishna, who wants to taste the sweetness of the love of Radha's heart and assumes her own beautiful golden complexion. That is Lord Chaitanya. He has come to taste the sweetness of that love. And also, in his promoting the Sankirtan movement, it's unique and differs from other Yuga avatars that come to establish the Yuga Dharma of Harinam Sankirtan. Because when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu comes through the Sankirtan movement, he is giving the love of Radha's heart to the world. He is giving the wonderful pastimes of Vrindavan to the world through Kirtan. Therefore, Chaitanya Charitamrita tells us that Lord Chaitanya, he hath come to give the highest perfections of love of God through Kirtan to everyone, including the most sinful untouchables. And Lord Chaitanya, he wove a wreath of the holy names and prema, pure love of the residents of Vrindavan, and garlanded the entire world with that wreath. That is the Harinam Sankirtan movement. Chaitanya Charitamrita explains that Nam Kirtan is a common thing. When King Prataparudra was on top of his roof and he was first seeing Lord Chaitanya's devotees coming to Puri, they were singing. They were dancing in the street. They were loudly chanting the holy names and playing instruments. King Prataparudra, he told Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya and Gopinathacharya that I live here in Puri and I have seen thousands and thousands of kirtan parties coming here. Because after all, kirtan is the Yuga Dharma for Kali Yuga. I've seen so many thousands of people chanting the same mantras and playing the same instruments and dancing, but I've never seen anything like this. What is this? And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya explained, Lord Chaitanya, this is the uniqueness of his gift to the world. He's not just giving Harinam Sankirtan, he's giving Prem Harinam Sankirtan. He's giving in his Sankirtan, in his Sampradaya, through his mercy, through the chanting of the holy names, he's giving the entrance and the experience of the highest ecstasies of the love of the residents of Vrindavan. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna tasting the sweetness of the ecstasy of Radha's love and distributing it profusely to anyone who's willing to accept it according to his instructions through the congregational chanting of the holy names. Now, just to wake you up, Hare
Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
What is the gift of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? So now that we all know that we have such a high, high conception of spirituality, we could easily become very proud that I'm better than you. Yes. But as long as you have that pride, it all just remains theoretical. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, after explaining these highest realms of spiritual perfection and the purpose of Lord Chaitanya, who appears in the role of a devotee to taste the sweetness of his devotee's love, Krishna does this in so many sweet ways. There's that beautiful story of how Krishna is thinking that my devotees, they sacrifice everything in this world. They endure so many difficulties. They're willing to give up everything and anything just to taste the sweetness of service to my lotus feet. What do my lotus feet taste like? Kadaravindara padaravinda mukaravindeva niveshayantam vatrasya patrasya puteshayanam. So the Lord takes the form of a little baby and is floating in the ocean of devastation on a little banyan tree leaf, sucking on his toe. Because, you know, if Narayana Vaikuntha starts sucking on his toe, it may interfere with devotees' relationship. But babies naturally suck toes. So he took the form of an old baby to suck his toe just to taste the sweetness of what his devotees give their lives to taste. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he came to this world to taste what the supreme origin of all devotees tastes, Radha, the love of her heart, and to distribute the nature of that love to all of us. Very high conception. But Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, in this verse that we are reading today, he brings it all to a realistic platform of how we can actually experience it. It begins with offering honor and respect, appreciating and serving the Lord's associates and Bhaktagana, all the Lord's devotees. He gives the names of such exalted personalities, Adwaitacharya, Nityananda, Srivas, Gadadhar, Swarup Damodar, Murari Gupta, Haridas Thakur. That's not a problem for us, is it? But then, Bhaktagana, which means all the devotees. That means the person you're sitting next to today and everyone else. All the devotees of Sri Krishna. He says, bowing down with devotion, I hold their lotus feet on my head. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he taught this principle. Yes, this Maha Mantra has Golokera Premadana Harinam Sankirtan. It's descended from Goloka Vrindavan. The highest rasas are all revealed in just chanting the names of Krishna and Radha in this Maha Mantra. Mancheto Dharapana Marajanam. In the first verse of Shikshastakam, Lord Chaitanya teaches us what the effects of chanting are. It cleanses the heart and ultimately awakens the taste of love, the ecstasy we're always yearning for. Selfless love. Savai pung chang paro dharmo yathopak dirhokshacheya ahoitaki aprati hataya yatma suprasidati. This is the Bhagavatam. It is the spotless Purana, because its aim is simply to reveal to the world the supreme occupation, the supreme dharma for all humanity, which is loving service to the Supreme Lord, which must be ahoitaki apratihata, without any selfish motivation, without any ego. and such love in the shiny sunny days or in the stormy days. Whatever may happen, we never ever give up our service. Whatever impediment, whatever obstacle, our love is never interrupted. Our service attitude is never interrupted. And we're tested. Sometimes things just don't go our way. And because of our egos, we want things to not go our way, our way. Yes? We know this philosophy, that I'm supposed to, despite all obstacles and reversals, I have to keep serving. So I want obstacles, and I want reversals. But they should be according to my liking. But then they're not actually obstacles or reversals at all. They're only really obstacles and reverses when they're not according to your liking. When they're actually hard, when they're difficult, when people just aren't treating you the way you want to be treated, when material nature is not treating you the way you want to be treated, when it appears that Krishna is just doing things to me, and people are doing things, and nature's doing things, and my own body and mind are doing things, and this is impossible. Why is God doing this to me? I have to take shelter somewhere. Television. Music, the old music, or intoxication, or that most palatable experience of prajalpa gossip, just to somehow or other, you know, take the edge off the sufferings and the difficulties I'm enduring. But when things happen, we may not be able to physically perform our service the same way. We have seen devotees who get incurable diseases and they're paralyzed. They can't get out of their bed. But they still have the will to serve. And even though they may not be able to do all the things that they used to do, they appreciate what everybody else is doing, and they're grateful, and they're just trying to chant the holy names according to what they can do, and they're perfect devotees because their service attitude is never disturbed. In different phases of our life, our abilities to perform different services may change, but our attitude to serve selflessly should never change under any situation. That's what ahoiktakiya pratihata means. In order for the soul to be satisfied, this love, this prem, without a tinge of selfish desires, is required. Now, this may seem so far away. When we first become devotees, when we hear this concept of prem, unselfish, unegoistic, uninterrupted loving service to the Lord, it seems so easy. All I have to do is just chant Hare Krishna and just follow a few principles and wake up for Mangal Arati and it will happen. But then when we're devotees, the longer we're devotees, the more we realize how rare and how special and how elevated this prem really is. Does any of you have that experience? I'm so far from it. Sometimes the more we try for it, the more we realize how far away we are from it. Daivi yeshu guna mahi mama maya duratyaya mame vamye papadyante maya meta tarantite. Then we come to the beginning of our real bhakti, when we realize, I can't do it. It's only by the grace of Radharani and Krishna that this prem could be awakened in my heart, this unselfish, unmotivated devotion. Ananyas chintayanto mam yejana paryupashate tesham nitya biyuktanam yoga kshemam vaham yaham. This verse gives us so much hope. Krishna says, just be sincere. Just take shelter of me. And if you do that, I will protect whatever you have, and I will compensate for whatever you lack. This prema bhakti cannot be attained. Wealth can be attained. Powers can be attained. But prema is given. And Srila Prabhupada writes, it's very rare to attain this prema. But Krishna easily gives it. If we are sincere, if we are serious, and we have no ulterior motives. If we simply have that, Srila Prabhupada says Krishna easily gives it. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, after explaining the power of the holy name, he teaches us how we have to chant it. Nam namakari bahuta nija sarva shaktis, that the name is, all the Lord's potencies are within the names. Everything, the spiritual world and our relationship with Krishna in the spiritual world can all be revealed in the holy names. It's all powerful. And then, Trinarapi sunichena taror ibasa hishnana amani namanadena kirtaniya sadhari. To taste the names, we aspire to be humble like a blade of grass, tolerant and forgiving like a tree, eager to offer all respect to others and not expect respect for oneself. With this aspiration in our heart, we could taste the sweetness of the holy name because Krishna is pleased with us. Last night we were speaking of cooperation. To the degree we're trying to follow Lord Chaitanya's foundational teaching of amani namanadena, there will naturally be total cooperation. Even in diversity, even opposite people can have full loving affection for each other and cooperate. Srimad Bhagavatam, after Ashwatthama killed all the five children of Draupadi, and Draupadi, who was a mother who loved her children beyond imagination, now she was motherless. She had no children, and there were none to come. Could you imagine her heartbreak? Bhima had other children, but he was a warrior. Arjuna had other children too, but Draupadi had no children left. They had other wives, but she only had them. Arjuna caught Ashwatthama and Bhima said, "Kill him!" And Arjuna was about to kill him. And Draupadi said, "No, don't kill him. Let him go." What is this? Bhima was a man, he was a Kshatriya, so his nature was justice. And he was right. According to the laws of Manu, according to the laws of Dharma, he deserved to die because he was a murderer. Kill him. But Draupadi wasn't a justice kind of person. She was a mother with a mother's heart. And she was thinking that Kripi, the mother of Ashwatthama, he's her only son. If he dies, she's going to suffer the same way I'm suffering. I don't want her to suffer like me. I don't want anybody to have to suffer like me. Let the child go. This is so contrary to material consciousness. Usually, if we suffer, we want other people to suffer with us. Yes? And if somebody's happy and we're not, were envious of them. Well, Draupadi wanted Kripi to be happy and not have to suffer like her. Let the child go. So here's Arjuna between Bhima and Draupadi. They're both powerful Vaishnavas and Vaishnavi. One is saying, let him go. The other saying, kill him. So what do you do? It's not easy managing Vaishnavas. Very difficult. Shruti Gama Prabhu, president of Bhaktivedanta Manor, he's probably in this situation all day long, every day. But you see, what was beautiful about this story is there was absolutely no enmity between Bhima and Draupadi. There was love and respect. They honored each other totally, even though they had completely different opinions of how to deal with the situation because they had different natures. And Krishna taught Arjuna and Bhima and Draupadi how to somehow or other honor each other and come to a, what is the best word? Common ground. Satisfy everybody. Somehow or other. Kill him, but don't kill him. It's as easy as that. If you kill him, Bhima's happy. If you don't kill him, Draupadi's happy. So kill him and don't kill him. So Arjuna understood exactly how to do that. For a Kshatriya, dishonor is worse than death. So he gave him a haircut, which really looked strange, which dishonored him. So Bhima was happy. He's worse than death. I'm happy. And Draupadi, because she knows creepy, you know, mothers don't care if their son's dishonored as long as they're alive. So how to respect each other as Vaishnavas, even with our differences. Amani na manadena. And the first two names that Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami explains in this verse are Advaitacharya and Nityananda. And we know their relationship. They have all kinds of fights. They criticize each other like anything. Yes? But it's out of love. Nityananda Prabhu comes to Advaita Prabhu's house, and Nityananda says, you're giving me so little food. I've been fasting for so many days, and now I have to continue to fast because this amount of food is not even a morsel compared to what I need to fill my belly. And Advaitacharya says that, you know, this is all I have. I'm a Brahmin. I'm giving you everything I have. You should be satisfied. You're supposed to be a renunciate. You're supposed to be self-satisfied. What is this all? Your greedy belly. And Nityananda Prabhu starts eating, and then he says, it's useless, there's not enough, and he throws the rice, and Advaitacharya said, Nityananda says, this is all useless, you have no real service attitude, you can't feed a guest when he comes to your house. And Advaitacharya says, I'm never going to invite any more guests like you, that you reject Paramhamsa. And Vrindavan Das Thakur says, in such fights between Vaishnavas, if one takes sides, one falls down. One has to understand that they're both transcendentally serving according to their own ways. So he's beginning with Advaitacharya and Nityananda. They had different natures, but they loved each other dearly, and they honored and respected each other, even with their different natures, completely. King Prataparudra and Kulavecha Sridhar, they had very different natures.
the love, the honor, the respect that we have for them and they have for each other. That is Vaishnava consciousness. So yes, at the end of every chapter, even explaining the most intimate loving sentiments of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the Gambhira, tasting and revealing the love of Radha and Krishna, and Radha's love and separation as she was feeling when Uddhava came from Mathura to Vrindavan with a message. We read in Srimad Bhagavatam the intense ecstasies of Radha's love and separation. She was mad. Lord Chaitanya was tasting that practically for the entirety of the last 12 years of his pastimes. And describing these things where he's seeing Govardhan Hill, he's seeing a sand dune and thinking it's Govardhan Hill and running to it in ecstasy and going into all transformations. He sees the sea and thinks of it as Jamuna and dives in and is floating underwater and underwater all night in ecstatic symptoms. But he ends every chapter taking the dust of the feet of Rupa and Raghunath on his head. And what is Rupa Raghunath? They have revealed the highest levels of spiritual intimacy of the Madhurya Rasa of Vrindavan. But when they came before Lord Chaitanya, first they received the blessings of Nityananda and Haridas Thakur. They were brought into Lord Chaitanya's presence by surrendering and taking the blessings of Nityananda and Haridas Thakur. And then with straw between their teeth, they offered prayers of humility that we are the most fallen, we are the most abominable, we are the most undeserving, but we desperately need your mercy. We're supposed to follow in the footsteps of great souls. If we want to understand what they teach, we must understand through their lives as well. That's why these stories are given to us. Rupa and Sanatan, they were Trinada Bisuni Chena, Taror Ibasi Hishnuna, Amani Namana Dena Kirtaniya Sadahadi. Lord Chaitanya gave him all their mercy and all knowledge after telling them, get up, your humility is breaking my heart. And he embraced them. And when he embraced Rupa Goswami, he transferred his own heart into Rupa Goswami's to reveal to the world. And Kaviraj Goswami is in that line. Bowing down with devotion to all these devotees, I hold their lotus feet on my head. And Prabhupada says, the author of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita teaches us that we must offer our respectful obeisances to all such pure confidential devotees of Lord Chaitanya Charitamrita.